Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, who do you vote for? Black people in America need to get something for their vote. Does that mean voting against traditional candidates who make empty promises, who have no regard for your human and constitutional rights? Well, let's just see what Biden did. From the Center for Immigration Studies, President Biden has issued the following immigration-related executive orders and administrative policy changes since his first day in office. Proclamation on ending discriminatory bans on entry to the United States. Executive order on the reversion of the civil immigration enforcement policies and priorities, January 20th, 2021, preserving and fortifying deferred action for childhood arrivals, the DACA, DACA. You guys probably heard of that, right? That's January 20th. Proclamation of the termination of emergency with respect to the southern border of the United States and redirection of funds diverted to border wall construction, January 20, 2021. Executive order on ensuring a lawful and accurate enumeration and apportionment pursuant to the decennial census. All this is January 2021 anyway. Miranda, reinstate and deferred and forced departure for Liberians. U.S. Citizen Act 2021. DHS statement on suspension of new enrollments in the Migrant Protection Protocols Program. Proclamation of suspension of entry as immigrants and non-immigrants of certain additional persons who pose a risk of transmitting coronavirus disease. See, like, that would be everybody coming through, since you don't have certification of, if you don't have certification of, I don't know, because the vaccine doesn't protect you against infection. So anybody coming through could have, you know, unless they're tested, they could have coronavirus. Anyway, January 25th, it's pretty busy in January. Executive order on creating comprehensive regional framework to address the causes of migration, to manage migration throughout North and Central America, and to provide safe and orderly processing of asylum seekers at the United States border. That was February 2nd, 2021. Shoot, I thought it was near the end of this. It's a pretty long list. Executive order on restoring faith in our legal immigration system. By now you should get that this is about immigration. So far, immigrants, last time I looked, were not citizens of the United States. But our guy seemed fit to jump right on that first. That's a primary concern of his, I guess. He's executive orders, right? In the establishment of intra-agency task force on the reunification of families, February 2nd. Executive order on rebuilding and enhancing programs to resettle refugees and planning for the impact of climate change on migration, February 4th. Memorandum on the Secretary of State on the emergency presidential determination on refugee admissions for fiscal year 2021, April 16, 2021, a proclamation on the suspension of entry as non-immigrants of certain additional persons who pose a risk of transmitting coronavirus disease, 2019, April 30, 2021. Memorandum for the Secretary of State on the emergency presidential determination of refugee admissions for fiscal year 2021. That's May 3rd, 2021. So, that's what your boy jumped on. And I didn't see the word citizen in there anywhere. Or black people or anything like that. So, hell, I didn't see white folks, white Americans in there. So, that's a whole lot of people he might have neglected. Anyway, were any of these immigrant people instrumental in getting this president elected? Did he state that they had his back and he had their back? Because I'm a little confused. Well, when it comes to election time, it will be time to remember who had your back and who created legislation specifically for you. Who created legislation specifically for others? Who creates laws to support their agenda? For example, California lowering the age of consent for the vaccine to 12, reestablishing the vaccine mandates, barring the unvaccinated. Right, they cannot enter unless vaccinated. Must fully be vaccinated for colleges, right? That's either 3 or 4 shots, because the bar keeps moving up as the vaccine wanes and fails to do what they say it does, which is not prevent infection or give you immunity, right? Just weird. Circuit Court of Appeals say all federal executive branch employees must be vaccinated to be employed. They must be fully vaccinated. You know, that bar is moving up. Used to be 2. Now maybe 3 or 4 shots, right? The government state's government state tracking system, we will have access to medical records, banning doctors, scientists, and anyone from saying anything in conflict with the sanctioned opinion of the state. For example, vaccines are safe, standing up for the constitutional rights of citizens against the tyranny of the state or the government and interest groups. So can't argue against the safety of the vaccines or stand up for the rights of citizens in terms of them being forced to take a participate in a medical procedure against their will that, you know, some people say is not safe. So all this to perpetuate the vaccine agenda that was at first supposed to create herd immunity, second, to reduce risk of severe symptoms and hospitalization and death from a genetic therapy or manipulation that triggers the production of the spike protein, right? Yet the vaccine does not provide immunity or protection from infection, and there is always the argument of safety and the apparent ignoring of the science that supports the adverse events and the risk of adverse events, right? So these are all witnesses to a totalitarian state where those that rule make the rules and those that do not must be subjected to or follow the rule or rulers, right? Biden threatens the sanctity of families, security of employment, and citizens' very lives. You have rights until they tell you that you don't. Still think you live in a democracy? Still think that the Democrats are the defenders of democracy? Black folks must first ask what the candidate has done for us, because your history is important. If you can't think of anything, then it's a no-brainer. We have to stop shopping at stores that don't have what we want and settling for what they want to give us. Would you go into a store looking for some bread and they didn't have any and they want to offer you something else? Not what you want, not what you need? Huh? Would you settle for that? A pitcher, a loaf of bread instead of a loaf of bread? It's a shame when having a black man in a position previously held historically by a white man makes the list of one of the highest achievements in black American history. That's sad. Just a black face coming through the front door is not an achievement. It's a novelty of no benefit to black folks, especially if that black face is not specifically representing the interests of black Americans. It simply allows black folks to feel victorious in slapping the white man in the face by voting a black president or whoever in office, right? So you feel like you got a victory, you know, yo, we got one of us up there. So you think. Because all skin folk ain't kin folk. One of us is not necessarily the same as one with us, right? And it takes a lot of heart to be, as we see historically, to be with us and for us. It takes a lot of guts because you might not make it through that journey. Anyway, the world is not a better place. And it's the same-ish today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's our turn to do something, to change, to grow. It is a shame and suspicious when the media covers a man slapping a man in the face more than they cover healthy men dropping dead on a playing field. When the media doesn't cover exactly how the political game is being played. What happened to those investigative reporters that dig into things and, you know, want to find out what's really going on, right? Is Biden a racist, unintelligent, or senile? From the Western Journal. Quote, Biden is saying, apparently he was referring to black folks. I don't even know why he would say this, but here we go. They quote him as saying, they are used to being experimented on, the Tuskegee Airmen and others, Biden said. He might have gotten some traction here if the statement was historically accurate. Biden confused the Tuskegee Airmen, legendary World War II fighter pilots, right? Y'all remember that story? With the infamous government study of syphilis among black men in the Tuskegee experiment. So either he's, you know, what was his issue? Or did the Tuskegee, I just thought about this, were the Tuskegee airmen experimenting on and we just didn't know about it? He does. So I don't know. Anyway. Says that he got it confused, though. Is he senile, unintelligent, or what's his problem? This man got nuclear codes. Anyway, I would like to think that intelligence is a criteria for candidacy. From Film Daily, Biden apparently fell asleep for about 20 seconds in the middle of a critical speech. Well, it pays to be awake when delivering a speech. This guy is literally sleeping on a job. Say he has a history of connected to racism and creating policy that targets blacks. From Truth Out, by the 70s, they said the 1970s, most of the overt, openly white racist Dixiecrat politicians had abandoned the Democratic Party for the Republican Party. I don't know if you guys remember the Civil War. The Republicans were up north, Democrats were the southern slave owners, right? Not that that makes a big difference, because they didn't love black folks in the north either. They hang in the north too. Don't get it twisted. Even today, in places where it's not safe for you. But no matter what side of the aisle, these good old boys seem to have often had a good working relationship with Joe Biden, except Biden praised former Dixiecrat Strom Thurmond from South Carolina at his eulogy in 2003. And I think that was supposed to have been his mentor or something. Remembering him as simply a product of his time, who eventually came over to the right side. I don't know what the right side is. So. While the fundraiser in June 18, 2019, Biden evoked the name of former Mississippi Democrat Senator James O. Eastland, who spent 36 years as a senator and who, even amongst races, was notorious for his white supremacist commentary. Eastland, who never sought to retract his views, stated plainly, "I have no prejudice in my heart, but the white race is the superior race and the Negro race an inferior race, and the races must be kept separate by law." Eastland, who made similar white supremacist remarks on the Senate floor, was never censored, rebuked, nor publicly reprimanded by his Democratic colleagues at the time. Biden included. Nobody said, hey, right? For his racist statements known as the voice of the white South, Easton was instead perfectly acceptable to the Democratic Party. One of the things that makes you say, what's up with that, right? It's no wonder that this more overt strain of white supremacist thinking allows for the more passive strain to be advanced, right? That's the difference between a person making a lot of noise, an empty cart making a lot of noise, and the person unknown to you not making any noise, you know, which you're paying attention to the distraction, the noisemaker. So the rowdy ones will make a way for the ones that are being covert, right? This explains Biden and his fellow Democrats' easy support for such measures as the 1994 crime bill, from supporting mandatory minimum sentences for nonviolent drug convictions to the disparity in sentencing between powder cocaine and crack, a derivative of cocaine, because you know what crack is, right? Biden, like past fellow moderate Hillary Clinton, similarly evoked the language of predators to describe crime in black communities during the drug crisis in the 80s and the 90s. Wow. So that's very interesting. Whites appear to favor cocaine. Blacks appear to favor crack. Crack is simply a cheap variation of cocaine, or cocaine in a solid form. This legislation can only deliberately target predominantly black populations who were the predominant crack merchants, right? You have to wonder how or why Biden was Obama's vice president. Because the plot thickens. But since you're not doing any investigative reporting into President Obama, I'm going to keep moving. In 2007, when Biden attempted to compliment Barack Obama, right, as a contender for the presidency, right? He's complimenting this guy. Check out this compliment. He stated, I mean, you got the first mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook man. Now, I don't know if y'all find that a compliment, but I don't, because I know about the hundreds of other black men who have been in American politics. Obama's not the first articulate, bright, clean, and nice-looking guy to be in politics. And I don't know what nice-looking may have to do with it, but, you know, what the hell is Biden saying? So, is everybody else black in and outside of politics unintelligent, dirty, and unattractive, or ugly? Obama was the first? You know, like, yo, we had lots of brothers in politics. We had Jesse before he ran for presidency, Bill Gregg. Yeah, lots of people. I mean, what in the world is Obama saying? Anyway. Is he crazy, senile, or does he think black people are stupid and crazy? Because that statement right there is tells you what he thinks about black people. Because he thinks this is the first. Obama is the first. Clean, intelligent black guy to be in politics. So you think black people are beneath him? Normally just not that way? I know a lot of black folks voted for this guy because he said so. He counted the vote, counted, and he got a disproportionate chunk of the black vote. But maybe folks didn't know he was who he is. If you don't vote for me, you are not black. Now, I thought that was, I couldn't believe he said that. No, I couldn't believe he said some of his other stuff. But this is ridiculous. If you don't vote for me, you are not black. What kind of a white man attempting to define what it is to be black and even suggesting that voting, and voting particularly for a white Democrat, defines blackness is ignorant and foolish. Does he have the nuclear codes? Does somebody help me out with this? This fool has nuclear codes? Power? We black people, African Americans, we are not looking to be cataloged by white folks. We are not looking for approval or validation from white people. So, you know, what is he saying? He has no power, influence over us in terms of who we are. We know who we are. Does this guy have the nuclear codes? Things to be mindful of. Voting for the lesser of evils. First, evil is not an option. All right? If the only thing somebody is offering you, you know, to eat, right, is food that is unedible, you have no choice. You want unedible pork, you want unedible fish, you want unedible chicken, right? Tell me you want unedible vegetables, which is what the, this whole concept of voting for the less, that's a defeated attitude. So you feel so defeated, you're going to just choose between the lesser of two evils. That's equivalent to acknowledging and submitting to evil, or something that does not have your best interest in mind. The choice of being between a rock and a hard place is no choice at all. It's like choosing between death by firing squad or hanging or lethal injection. Either way, you end up dead, or in the case of black folks, having from 0.0 0.01% to 0.05% of the wealth for over 100 years. How did that happen? I say whites historically had government assistance that gave them a social, political, economical advantage. From Claude Anderson, the percent of national wealth owned by black people in 1860 was 0.5%. In 1960, the number went up to 1.5%. Currently, we still have less than 2% of national wealth. We are not doing any better as a group of people, right? He said the problem is the plight of black people was caused by systematic economic disenfranchisement as, you know, whites perpetrated the disenfranchisement, but all races had a hand in it, he said. The government is currently on a path to have black people locked and boxed, he called it, as a permanent obsolete worker class. Don't need you, right? The government is now moving power into the hands of companies through privatization, right? The redistribution of authority to the private sector will remove the federal government as an institution strong enough for black people to appeal to receive the rights. Mr. Anderson's research showed that black had to build a vertically integrated economy by the year 2013. Okay? Or there would never be enough capital in the black community for us to be competitive. Sounds like there's some kind of war going on, but black folks didn't get the memo. The economic disenfranchisement began in the 60s. In the 1600s, I mean, not the 60s. Maryland was the first state to make a black exclusion edict. In 1665, the black exclusion edict codified the treatment of blacks as second-class citizens and made it illegal for blacks to participate in the economy. Okay, so that's difficult to create wealth, right? Even though some people did create wealth, very few. Slave codes of 1705 further codified the system. Slave codes made aiding black people in any way punishable by death. The final nail in the coffin was the meritorious man you missing. Another thing that mentions, like to mention this, that's the meritorious man you missing formalized a system to reward blacks for subverting slave rebellion and organization. So basically, they paid a black guy to spy on black people and to help them oppress, subdue, control, and eliminate, you know, targets in the black community, right? So, not a thing that applies that to wealthy blacks. They don't help. The reason why they're not doing anything big is because of this meritorious man you missing. So they can have wealth, but you better not try to help black people come up. Anyway, Native Americans were instrumental to the institution of slavery. After the French and Indian War, the Treaty of 1750 allowed Indians to have slaves, right? Own slaves, right? The five civilized tribes were prolific slaveholders and some of the fierce Confederate soldiers in the Civil War. So, also, Indians were the only group of people to have slaves after the Civil War. A second treaty had to be drawn up, right? To allow for the freeing of the slaves and their inclusion in reparations. That's very important. these five tribes kept slaves after the slaves were supposed to be free. They had a second treaty with them. So, I mean, they had to free their slaves, right? And they were supposed to be included in reparations. So any black folks get any reparations as a part of that inclusion? What happened to these reparations? The Civil War was fought to extract wealth from the South and put it in the North. Slavery was not the primary issue in the Civil War. Lincoln did not make slavery an issue until 2 years into the war, they said. It was only applied to places. The Emancipation Proclamation didn't free anyone. It was only applied to places that had already seceded from the Union and left enslaved people in the Union under bondage. So all the slaves that were part of the Union stayed slaves under the Emancipation. You guys love Lincoln. The South set out to reestablish a system of forced labor and stay within the Constitution, right? I skipped some. After the Civil War, the 13th Amendment abolished slavery unless preceded by a criminal conviction, right? So if you commit a crime, you can be enslaved. Out there, they still have anything on the books to say you can enslave somebody anywhere for any reason. But they do. The South set out to reestablish a system of forced labor and stay within the Constitution, right? So they start creating all these traps for black folks, right? White people created farmer alliances that vertically integrated the supply chain of tobacco and cotton. Those were major. At one point, that's what made America rich in the beginning, right? That's major. That's how you create wealth. See, that white people created farmer alliances that vertically integrated the supply chain of tobacco and cotton, okay? Controlling the resources from the beginning to it hits the marketplace, right? For consumption, right? The farmer alliances was a co-op of white farmers that control access to the distributor and the factory. Black farmers were not allowed to join and had no place to sell their crop. Then they passed a law that said a black man must have a steady stream of employment. Since a black man could not start his farm, he had to work on a white man's farm. They made work on the farm contingent on signing a year-long contract. If a black person had not signed a contract with a white farmer, he would be in violation of the idle workers law. The lack of work contract would land him a conviction and forced labor, right? Because you in jail, right? Forced labor on the Southern chain gang. All right? So see the traps? Because I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And that's, I mean, if that's all you have, you're going to have to do that. You don't have no boots. You got to pull yourself up from whatever you got. But blacks that moved north did not fare better either, because they had moved north. Oh, let's get out of here. Go north. See what, you know, I guess they thought it was better because they freed the slaves, let the blacks fight in the army and stuff, kill white folks, and, you know. So the government increased quotas, allowing immigrants from Southern and Eastern Europe to reduce the relative number of black people in the north. So you might be looking at that right now, right, with this influence, this influx of immigrants coming into the United States, right? Unions were formed to exclude black people, and laws were passed to force companies to hire from the union. Blacks were then relegated to the ghettos because that was the only place in town black people could afford to live. Sound familiar? This is some old stuff right here. This is the same. This is some stuff going on right now. In the economic sphere, civil rights movements resulted in affirmative action. Dr. Anderson wrote many of the original affirmative action laws as a part of the Carter administration. Since inception, affirmative action has grown to include more people. It's my understanding he wrote it specifically for black folks, right? But as you see, a lot of things that relate to black people gets hijacked, right, by other folks. Currently, white women get 70% of the affirmative action job, and Hispanics get 20% of the affirmative action job. Blacks receive about 1% of the benefit from affirmative action. Originally written for them, they get the less, right? So the guy who wrote it, he hopes that there's a speedy end to affirmative action. That's sad. Hijack. The influx of immigrants has also caused the relative pay between whites and blacks to stay at 54%. Jobs can be given to immigrants to fill AA quotas, and the disenfranchisement of blacks will continue. Same thing yesterday, today, and tomorrow, right? Continued immigration from Latin America and Asia dilutes the voting power of black people. Currently, Hispanics outnumber black people nationally. Black people are also beginning to move out of predominantly black neighborhoods. The exodus of blacks from predominantly black neighborhoods reduces the number of places with a majority black population and dilutes the power of black people in local elections. Black people are no longer a political force. Is the state of black America improvement? He said no. The percent of national wealth owned by black people in 1860 was 0.5%. In 1960, the number went up to 1.5%. Currently, we still have less than 2% of the national wealth. We are not doing any better as a group. And from what I see, this thing is only going to get worse. The lack of wealth in the black community is not the result of any inferiority on the part of black people. In 1960, 98% of the black population was illiterate. By 1900, only 40% were illiterate. The rapid growth of literacy in the black community is one of the greatest achievements in education history. At this moment, black women are the most educated demographic in America. However, this does not translate into wealth or even income due to discrimination in the marketplace, right? So they said, what's the solution? And as it said, part of the solution first is to infuse black America with wealth through reparations. The second is to create black businesses in a vertically integrated supply structure, right? Because black people were the only ones to endure slavery, black people have an exclusive claim to reparations from the federal government. The first order of the business is to secure reparations promised in Indian treaties. Treaties trump even federal law, and most of the treaties explicitly state a portion of the reparations are due to black people that descend from the tribes slaves, right? From the tribe slaves, right? If those court cases are victorious, a president can be set to demand reparations from America as a whole. So you're going to go for the ones with the treaty first, and then that sets a precedent, good precedent to get, you know, for all the people who are descendants of slaves in this country. The reparation will not be given to black people individually, he said. A national black bank will be established to provide business grants and educational grants. Black people will wholly own the businesses or schools. Reparations will allow our historically black colleges and universities to be independent and not to be subsidized by the government or white institutions, right? So it would seem that if there were laws that specifically disenfranchised blacks in America to keep them down, right? If they had laws, they created laws to specifically disenfranchise blacks in America, it would take laws to specifically support black people to help bring them up to speed. Now, that doesn't seem like rocket science to me. Since these laws pertain specifically to all black people, it seems like everybody can get reparations except the black man. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. You got laws. You got laws on the books that they murdered, tortured, raped, and stole the Indians' land, and they got reparations. They stole black people, murdered, tortured, raped, dismembered them, freed them, and enslaved them, murdered, tortured, raped, dismembered them, and still no reparations. I don't get it. It's not making any sense because, I mean, it's historic if you read the right or real history book. If the Indian tribes got reparations because their land was taken, they were murdered and raped and tortured. Well, if you took a person, you didn't just take land, you took us, you stole a man, his descendants. Anyway, it's an old argument. And for white America to help create black businesses in a vertically integrated supply structure is to help create their competition. That's why it's okay for black to play professional sports, write, produce, act, and powerless sports in the powerless sports and film industry. Control over the natural resources could be problematic if sports can be used as a reference point of what blacks are capable of. So we just look at what blacks can do in sports, right? In the areas of which they are allowed to excel, right? And we're not saying that's the only areas that black people excel in, because we know we excel in mathematics, sciences, the health fields, in construction and things like that. But you can see how blacks were allowed to excel, and it was, in the sports categories and film and things like that, right? Anyway, control over the natural resource could be problematic if sports are used as a barometer or a reference point of what blacks are capable of doing. Say, I remember somebody had a joke like that. Say, they didn't took over baseball, basketball, football. It's a joke about how blacks are taking over these sports that were predominantly white when they started out. Not that they had black sports, but they were, predominantly, all black teams, all black leagues and things like that, right? So seems like there has been a war against black people in America for over 400 years. It just seemed like some black folks just didn't get the memo, or they, trashed it. And, I'm sure all politicians, white, black, Latino, and Asian, know this, or they should. You shouldn't even be in politics if you don't know that it's been over 400 years of people just trying to keep you down, keep black folks down. Writing these, creating these laws. Anyway, reparations are the process of repairing, healing, and restoring the people injured because of their group identity and in violation of their fundamental human rights by governments, corporations, institutions, and families. Now, I could talk about that, and you can see reparations might be due to even more than just black people. But for slavery, that's just black folks. But if you start including what the government and corporations are doing to people, and maybe that's why they don't want to open that Pandora's box. But it's historic what you've done to black people. From Poverty and Race Research Action Council. guy by Ronald Chosper wrote, he said, the experience of the American Indian in obtaining reparations from the federal government should interest those who seek similar action with respect to black Americans, right? American Indians have received three types of reparations, cash payments through the operation of the Indian Claims Commission and the U.S. Court of Claims, land through an occasional action of Congress to return control over land to particular tribes, tribal recognition, either by Congress or the Bureau of Indian Affairs. They said the first of these has been the least satisfactory, cash, right? All right, because in here, money is power, right? Anyway, measure it by long-term impact on it, Indian communities, right? The second was more satisfactory, right? But has been experienced by very few tribes. See, you see, you know, but the third, right? I just thought this was interesting. Which is in process now, has had the best results. Recognizing them as a tribal recognition? Well, it don't cost nothing. You ain't giving them nothing. You just recognizing them as a tribe, like, of course, I guess that would be the most successful. I'm just going to say, get some paper, write it down. We recognize you as a Tupperware, you know, with Cherokee, Comanche, Sioux. And that's like, why you seek recognition from these people? I don't know. From the man that's taking everything you have from you. Anyway, I say don't hold your breath waiting for the government to give you cash, reparations, or land. No political candidate is going to go against the grain for you, black man. Maybe the black man needs to go against the grain by not voting for candidates that will not act in your best interest. Assimilation is not reparation. So, you know, all that thing about us being assimilated into the fabric of the American society. Look here. That's not the same as reparation. They're giving people from other countries stuff right now. Not even citizens. Setting them up. Housing. You got people right here in the United States can't get housing. Black, white, probably some Asians. Latino, you got people, they can use a house, citizens. I ain't talking about immigrants, I'm talking about black, white, Latino, Asian citizens who probably could use a roof over their head, a hand up, you know, hand out and a hand up. In the spirit of dealing with people where they are, may I suggest that black people work together to create their own social, political, economic support system. Just as Dr. Anderson, suggested. I mean, it's not like it's never happened before. Black Wall Street, which I continue to mention, was an excellent example of blacks working together. And there were more than one type of Black Wall Street, right? That's more than an excellent example of blacks working together in the segregated environment of the United States and excelling, right? Because there's this early 1900s, that's when, you know, they people could hang you, take a picture next to you, and nobody's going to jail for that. They appeared to have all bases of self-perpetuating in place, right? All bases of self-perpetuating black economic life covered. Except self-defense. They had all the bases covered. You know? Because the United States have all the bases of self-perpetuating economic life, right? And they have a military, a formidable military. So these brothers and sisters had all the bases covered except for self-defense. They weren't covered there. They didn't have that covered. In 1921, Tulsa, Oklahoma was destroyed and at least 300 blacks were massacred by murderous mobs of angry white folks. This is also known as the Tulsa Race Massacre, right? So, go on, Miss. This Tulsa thing here. In 15 years, Tulsa, Oklahoma had become one of the wealthiest places for black Americans in the country. 15 years. It took them 15 years to do it. This is 15 years when they was calling 80-year-old men boy. You know what I'm saying? Slinging, you know, it wasn't nothing to see somebody hanging from a tree who ain't do nothing. It was destroyed in 48 hours. And I don't know, but, you know, they had everything except for self-defense. That's all I'm going to say about that. You don't get that, I can't help you. Black Wall Street was built without reparations during a time when blacks were subjected to taxation and no representation, no justice, and no absolutely no peace. All right? Claude Anderson, you know, playing in practice, but he started this thing called African Town. It was initiated by Mr. Anderson to build a black business district in the inner city of Detroit, right? So he tried to build this And what happened, I said, with the fish farm thing, right? So if he was successful, right, he would have control on fish farms, distribution, sales, and restaurants, right? And that's the start of building that, you know, self-perpetuating business, right, for black folks, right? I think it was called, what's it, Waterland Fish Factory in Hurlock. So anyway, this thing fell because it, apparently they say the roof was bad, killed a lot of fish, so it didn't last. But still, he actually took steps towards actually doing something. He ain't just talking. So what I'm doing right now is not enough. It may be this is just a spark, and those who have ears have a way, find a way to do something. Doesn't have to be as big as that. It could be anything, right? It is not amazing that the political guys of this nation have not implemented reparations for the descendants of slaves in this country. After all, there is the possibility that black people may become a force of power or an example or blueprint for how to become a collective entity through the blueprint of collective economics. The idea of assimilation dilutes the social, political, economic, black power pool. So we have to work together. And everybody's not going to be included in that because everybody doesn't share that passion, that idea. We have some very selfish, narcissistic demons in our mix also. Another thing we need to do is, as I've been saying, avoid blind loyalty. It is customary for blacks to vote Democrat. Now it is truly time to ask what the Republican or Democratic Party or candidate is going to do for black people. All right, remember, we don't care about a black person being selected as a Supreme Court justice or president or vice president. Remember, Biden's executive order prohibiting attacks on Asian people after a few attacks on Chinese people was covered on mainstream media. From the Huffington Post, the Huff Post, President Biden signed an executive order condemning the wave of anti-Asian racism accelerated by the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, somebody help me out with this. Yet, black folks have been murdered, lynched, dismembered, tortured, hung, shot, raped, beaten, assaulted, insulted, spat on, kicked in the ass, water holes, bitten, and eaten by dogs for over 400 years. There's a book titled A Thousand Lynchings. Whole communities have been murdered and destroyed. And where's the legal legislation to specifically address the assault on black people? And I mean whole community. They have a community where they had flooded. They had to kill everybody, flooded it out. It's a lake now. Where's the legislation? And I'm not saying Asian people, all people should be protected from unwarranted violence, you know, but I'm saying, like, if you're going on somebody running up in an Asian shop area, shoot some Asian people, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what historically has been happening to black folks. That's how you know you had no power. You don't have no, you create no laws. All you can do is talk about it, beg somebody to create a law. That doesn't make no sense. Anyway. The police officer who executed Laquan McDonald, and what was that in? Chicago, right? He shot him 16 times, right? 15 of those shots occurred while he was laying on the ground. He did that within about a couple of, 30 seconds of coming on the scene? Shot him 16 times altogether, right? In Chicago. And he's been released after 7 years. The citizen who stalked and murdered a minor, 17-year-old, Trayvon Martin is free to sell the murder weapon for an astronomical amount of money. You hear me? No one was held accountable for the assault and the false arrest, incarceration, and death of Sandra Bland. And shouldn't someone be held responsible for the murder of Breonna Taylor? Shot about 8 times as police blindly fired into her home during a no-knock search warrant, right? And really, George Floyd handcuffed with a knee on his neck and 2 men on his body and legs would still be alive if only the Minneapolis police officers cared enough about his life to preserve it. Where is our legislation? Obama was in the highest office for 8 years and did absolutely nothing specifically for black people. He was not the president of black people. He was the president of America, as I stress. Last time I looked, black people have no political power in America, and it takes more than 30% of the population to get elected. Putting a black face in the White House is a small, empty victory because we are still steadily losing the war. If you fell for that, you will fall for anything. Biden, a white man with questionable history, whose mentor was a known racist, ran as Obama's vice president, stated, "You wasn't black if you don't vote for him," admitted that the black voters helped him in his bid for the presidency. Suspiciously, didn't want to speak to Ice Cube until after the election and never did speak to Ice Cube after he was elected. did nothing for black people. If the candidate is not particularly promising you something, you don't owe that candidate anything, particularly your vote and support. I say you need to get somebody who's already doing things for you and get that candidate in there. Because the promise, as they say, are made to be broken. So gambling anytime somebody, even these guys been in politics all this time, and then they get there and they don't do nothing. Enough of the blind loyalty and support. It's time to wake up and smell that there is no coffee for you, that you are going to have to grind your own beans and make your own coffee. Okay, you're gonna have to grow your own beans, grind them up, make your own coffee. There's no coffee for you. You got to make your own, just like they did in Tulsa. I'm sorry to say that, but that's apparently our reality. Not getting raped by your good old Uncle Sam and settling for a small handout and a pat on the butt. None of that. No getting raped by your good old Uncle Sam and settling for a small handout and a pat on the butt. That's out. I'm tired of that. It's time we stood our ground, and if the black vote is of any value to anybody, make them pay the price for it. Don't sell your soul for tradition, custom, a Supreme Court justice, vice president, or president. At this point, I'm not sure who is the lesser of the two evils, but I am sure that there are two evils. Immigrants, illegal and legal, are receiving aid and assistance that some citizens, black or white, are not able to get. Wake up, white folks. Watch the language spoken and written in reference to misinformation, disinformation, and lies. Biden stated he had black people's back. They know Biden was referring to an axe in their back. Now he's attempting to use the Obama card, right, to seduce the black vote for sodomizing them during the last election, right? So he's using it again to sodomize the black community as he did during the last election. People who had a chance to do something for us and did not, can't possibly, right? People who had a chance to do something for us and did not, can't possibly be doing something for us now. The reason why they wasn't doing nothing for you. They are doing something for someone. They're doing something for someone. But that someone is more than likely not black folk. That black get back thing, that's you know, variation of the same thing, you know, black get back. Censorship is a tool of the oppressor, indicative of the absence of a rational democratic state, fear of the unity of the people. There is no good reason for censorship. Anyone who speaks against the government's COVID-19 vaccine agenda is not a threat to the people, but a threat to the supporters of the vaccine agenda. The government is notorious for allowing harmful products to be marketed to the public. Read, y'all. Read. Research. You don't even have to dig that hard to find out. Just check out the history of the FDA and all that stuff. Just, what's that thing they got? Johnson's talcum powder or something? All these lawsuits, you hear these class action lawsuits. Come on now. The asbestos stuff. If they censor citizens for the so-called benefit or in the best interest of the population, this blueprint for censorship has been successful, right? If it worked once, it may work again. Denying Americans their First Amendment right. Becomes a matter of if the citizen is disputing the sanctioned government scenario. That is very totalitarian. What do you mean? You can deny me my right, freedom of speech. You just declare that what I'm saying is misinformation, disinformation. Really? Because you said so? Because you had the power to enforce it? Because you had guns? Because that's what it basically falls down to, because you scare people into not hiring you and things like that. That's totalitarian. We're not living in a democracy. This, but they call it, but draconian tactics that Biden is this old dude, 1 foot in the grave, sleeping on the job, don't know the difference between Tuskegee Airmen and Tuskegee experiment, laying down. And then again, maybe all he is a puppet, and that's why he's able to do what he's doing, because no one man has that much power. That's probably why mainstream media is not covering the story about athletes dropping dead in the on the playing field and the relationship to the administration of the COVID-19 vaccine. And the myocarditis is, and pericarditis is, swelling, irritation of thin sac-like tissue around the heart inflammation of the heart muscle, right? So these both things, myocarditis and pericarditis, is heart disease, basically, right? I think myo is clotting, and perio is the sac lining. Anyway, Dr. McCullough, right? A respected cardiologist has warned that a study has illustrated the fact that the mRNA spike protein vaccines are in fact more dangerous than the virus they are supposed to protect people from. Dr. Parks warned of the dangers. Dr. Marlowe, inventor of the mRNA delivery technique, right, technology, warned them. But as usual, they found scientists and doctors that were willing or coerced into saying that the vaccine was safe and that the benefit outweighed the risk. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Because anytime you have that risk in there, that's the decision only you make. The risk just also happens to be heart disease and death. Stroke if it goes to your brain. If you have to wonder why mainstream media has not blasted it all over the news, didn't many of them get the jab? Didn't many mainstream media, I don't know, but I'm assuming they got the jab. Anyway, they don't want you to get the information, pro and con, that will assist you in making an informed decision. They will determine for you if the benefit outweighs the risk to the risk, not you. They're going to make that determination. If you don't take the jab, Biden threatens to kick your family to the curb by not allowing you to work or receive unemployment compensation. You can't pay your bills. You are out of a home, car, no food. That brings to question, who is Biden actually working for? Now the Biden administration wants to continue to threaten your jobs, your homes, your health, your family, if your opinion or science is contrary to the opinion or science of the state, federal, government enforced version of the mRNA spike protein vaccine. Now I hear people get sensitive because they even mentioning the vaccine. Like, that's crazy. That's totalitarian. Because once they get that ball rolling, they're gonna do that whenever they feel like it. So you can't allow your government to get away with things that they shouldn't be doing, to violate your constitutional rights and to just create a scenario to make you a bad person because you have information that's contrary to theirs. You can't allow them to do that, but we are. We see a war in the Ukraine today because the bombs leave much evidence. And I don't know about some of that evidence. I think I heard some of that was filmed with some other stuff. Anyway, but there is a war going on there, right? I assure you, we are also at war in the good old USA. Many just haven't realized it. Kathleen Cleaver, Elvis Cleaver's wife, Black Panthers both, once stated, politics is warfare without bloodshed. War is politics with bloodshed. They are slowly taking American rights away and showing their poisonous fangs. They are acting in the best interest of someone. It just isn't the American people. They have managed to divide Americans into two groups, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, all who are at risk of infection, hospitalization, and death from the virus or the vaccine. Now, Biden and his supporters and superiors have initiated their treasonous bid for total control of not just the USA, but the world population. The creation of laws that suppress opinions and science contrary to the state. Authorized opinion and science is a giant step to total domination and the totalitarian state or the New World Order. As far as the Ukraine goes, why do they need to put weapons pointed at Russia? What is the point in doing that? Why does Russia need to point Russia's weapons at the United States? Sounds like some infighting to me, because these guys fought two world wars together. We should not be asking politicians to do things for us or taking orders from them, nor should we live in fear of someone's political power. They, politicians, corporations, and interest groups should fear plotting against us. Any unethical venture against us, not representing us. They should be punished severely for any transgression against the people of the not-so-United States of America. That is taxation and no representation. Wasn't the Revolutionary War fought over just that? Biden and his supporters should be afraid to threaten Americans. What happens if Americans threaten Biden and his supporters? That is how you know that you are not being represented by government. That is how you know you are being attacked by so-called government and demonized for defending yourself. It is as acceptable to destroy a demon as it is for a demon to destroy you. The absence of having sovereignty over your own body makes you a slave to the master of your body. This overt power over citizens of the world teaches, encourages, and grooms people to submit to the will of the false gods and leaders of this world. Violating the Nuremberg Code, though some say the Nuremberg Code does not apply to vaccines. It only applies to experiments. Others argue that vaccines are experimental, not having any long-term data, and many previous experiments concluding with ADE, right? Dr. Malone, co-inventor of the mRNA delivery system, warned them of the dangers of adverse effects. Dr. Marlowe's warning about blood clots and deaths related to the vaccine, right? And Dr. Christine Parks, as I said, she warned the same thing, you know, that this thing could be harmful to us. Remember, The idea was to inoculate the world population and develop herd immunity. You can only produce herd immunity with a vaccine that provides immunity and protection from infection. The mRNA spike protein vaccine has never been used before. The current mRNA vaccines do not provide protection from infection or immunity. Sounds like a live medical experiment to me. But Dr. Batar stated, PhDs are the most vaccine-resistant group, talking about this COVID-19 vaccine, right? So Robert Malone, the man who invented, this is from the Washington Examiner, Robert Malone, the man who invented the mRNA technology used in some coronavirus vaccines, says he was censored by YouTube for sharing his concerns on the vaccine in a podcast. One of my concerns are that the government is not being transparent with us about what those risks are. So you can't make an informed decision. You don't, if they're not being transparent. Also, he said, I'm of the opinion that people have a right to decide whether to accept a vaccine or not, especially since these are experimental vaccines. So says Dr. Malone, the inventor of the delivery system of the vaccine, right? So the Nuremberg Code goes on to say a lot of things, right? Basically, the principles must be observed in order to satisfy moral, ethical concepts. So it talks about voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. Able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion. That's exactly what we're going through, right? And should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved as to enable him to make an understanding and enlightened decision. Now, the recent authorization of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for adolescents ages 12 to 15, a group that totals almost 17 million. Now, based on what I just said, do we really think that 12 to 17-year-olds have the ability to understand and make enlightened decision about the mRNA vaccine? There are adults who lack information to understand and make enlightened decisions and provide consent regarding vaccines, period. Scientists are arguing about the safety of the vaccine to date. Lowering the age of consent also usurps the parent's right to guide the life of the child. Or do we all belong to the state? And that goes back to what I'm saying, and not defending your constitutional rights. They are declaring, because they're not proving anything. They are declaring that they are right and that other people are providing misinformation. Some have argued that the Nuremberg Code applies to experiments, not vaccines. First, to feel these principles are not relevant to the introduction of vaccines that have never been successfully used in experiments is indicative of how much disregard the vaccine supporters have for previous scientific data and human life. Initially, there was and is no scientific data on the long-term effect of the mRNA spike protein vaccine. If the vaccine is effective, why does it not provide immunity and protection from infection? How come you're going up to the fourth dose? What's next? 5, 6, 7, 8? When was a mRNA vaccine used to eradicate a disease? When has that ever been used to eradicate a disease? What happened to the alternative treatment? I say follow the money trail if you want to know why the mRNA vaccine is the only treatment. Remember, these are experimental vaccines, says Dr. Robert Malone, creator of the mRNA delivery technology used in the vaccine. So your government has a duty and responsibility for ascertaining the quality of the consent rests upon each individual's who initiates, directs, or engages in the experiment. It is a personal duty and responsibility which may not be delegated to another with impunity. Right? The experiment should be such as to yield fruitful results for the good of society, unprocurable by other methods or means of study, and not random and unnecessary in nature. An experiment should be designed and based on the results of animal experimentation and knowledge of the natural history of the disease or other problem under the study, that the anticipated results justify the performance of the experiment. There's, you know, I'm going to skip some of this. The experiment should be conducted where there is a priority reason to believe that the death or disabling energy will occur. The experiment should be conducted where there is a priority reason to believe that death or disabling energy shall occur. So, point is, Peter McCullough is the top cardiologist who has had his work published in more than 650 variety of medical journals. He said that in normal circumstances, what happened in January this year, when officials learned that 182 deaths following 278 million jabs should have been enough to end the COVID vaccine program. Our COVID vaccine program would have been shut down in February for excess mortality in America, but it hasn't been. All right, so that's the kind of stuff they're trying to shut up through censorship and through totalitarian, draconian rules and behaviors. Until next week, y'all, run out of time. Each one reach one, each one teach one. I want to thank the We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, my callers and listeners. Pay attention to what the government is doing. They're doing what they want to do. Democracy is almost dead, if it ever was. Until next week, each one, reach one, each one, teach one. Do your own research. Peace, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised.
will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.